Why are sending agencies struggling with the Gen X generation? This is a big issue. It's not something that has come up in one conference, been dealt with, and gone away.
That's right. That's right. It surprised me how much it's still an issue and hasn't been resolved. I think partly because Generation X's outlook and their approach to life and to ministry and to work is so different to that of the mission agencies. The mission agencies have tended to have a way of working that values long-term commitment. You go to somewhere for 20 to 30 years, and actually, until you've been there 10 years, you really can't contribute very much. You do as you're told. You are put in a situation where you are assigned sometimes to situations. That still surprises me that organizations think that they can just assign people without a kind of conversation or a discussion and say, well, we need you there. We don't care what you came to do or thought you were doing, but this is what we need. You go there. It's a very military model, actually, which goes back to this veteran outlook that you do as you're told. We need you there. Don't care what you think. Off you go. And they haven't realized that Generation X's have a very different way of working. They bring a set of skills and an outlook that is very valuable. They're very adaptable. They're innovative. They're not intimidated by authority. They're very creative. But on the downside, and these are often the flip sides of those things, they're sometimes unaware of their own experience. We're not good diplomats. We're not prepared to... the baby boomers are brilliant diplomats and will have great people skills, and Gen Xers really don't. We say what we see, and we see what we say. And that can really upset people. And we're not prepared to stick at a situation where things don't seem to be working. We've been trained by employers not to be particularly loyal. And we have a sense that actually we don't have all the answers for any situation. What we have is we can go somewhere, we can make a contribution, we learn something in the process, and then we move on to something else. That's been our experience of life generally. And we don't expect to be somewhere 30 years. We expect to be somewhere for a short time, hopefully make a contribution, and then move on and keep making a new contribution elsewhere. I've said that we can be committed to Christ and very committed to his mission, but we're not committed necessarily to an organization, to one particular ministry, to a country, to a people group, or any of these things. We expect that our experience of being a mission was more like a pilgrimage, where we're constantly moving on to new situations. We don't know where the future lies. We don't know where we're going to be, but we expect to keep moving on. But in that pilgrimage, in each place, we do expect to make a contribution, to learn something, hopefully, and then keep going. And that, as a style of working, is so alien to organizations, to their expectations, that it creates real challenges. We are told that you have to go somewhere and learn a culture and learn a language, and these things are very valuable and not to be decried. But actually, in 2 years, you can learn something of a language, you can make a contribution to some people, you can shape some lives, and then move on.
And that's a reflection from those that are in the Gen X generation working in the secular society, where they'll have 7, 8, 10 jobs over a lifetime.
Easily.
And it's reflected directly back in the sending agents and the organizations, where they may work for 3 or 4 different organizations over their period of ministry.
Easily. I have a friend who's in her mid-30s and is in her 4th mission organization already. Now, that's sometimes seen as a terrible thing, that she can't commit to anything. She has made a significant contribution in each place. Sometimes we're accused that this is just being worldly. We're just copying the world. I think what I'd like to say in return is that we were not the first to do that, and we will not be the last to do it. The case I've tried to make is that the veteran model reflects their life experience and their way of doing work. Baby boomers reflects their way of doing work. We have no other way of doing it. There is not one single biblical way. There are different ways, and often the ways that we do it are very much shaped by the generation that we belong to.
Is that why there has been such an explosion over the past 10 years of tent-making agencies?
I think that's part of it. I think it allows people to bring the skills that they've got, to go to somewhere, to make a contribution and move on. I think actually tent making began initially probably as a baby boomer way of thinking, that I want to bring the skill that I have, the ministries I have, and use it. But we're seeing a greater expansion of that opportunity. And short-term is another example, whether that's for a month, a year, 2 years. And sometimes people are criticized for accumulating short-term experiences. But I say, that's great. In each situation, they will have gone and they will have contributed something. And this requires organizations to begin to think differently about the way they manage their personnel, the way they recruit, how they use their human resources. Rather than being given this resource, this piece of capital, if you like, this person that they now have for 30 years to use, actually, they're getting it on loan for a couple of years. And they need to use that person to the optimum of their ability for the period that they're available. And then there will be other new people coming through. The turnover of capital, if you like, of human capital in an organization is more rapid. And so organizations need to be more creative, more flexible about the way they use those people, that capital, as they come through while they're available on loan to them. My father retired last year, and he was the managing director of a civil engineering company that he had worked for 31 years. And he, I think, had had two employers before that. You know, I'd had more employers by the age of 25 than he had in his life. And this is, it's just the world we live in. It's just our expectations of how life works. And I don't see there's anything wrong with that. I think it's wrong to criticize it as worldly and somehow think that this is the only way it's ever happened. We live in a world now where travel is much easier and quicker. And rather than requiring our recruits to fit into the expectations of an organization, rather than saying we have a square hole and I don't care if you're a round peg, we're going to chip all those bits off that make you round and force you into this square hole. We need to be saying, well, actually, we're used to having square pegs and all we've got is square holes, but all of a sudden we've only got round pegs coming along. So let's change the whole. Let's change the way that we use people. And I don't mean use in a negative sense. Let's change the way that we use our staff and our expectations on them and take advantage of the fact that these people are willing to give 2 to 3 years to us, make the most of that, and then make the most of whoever comes along afterwards to replace them.
So it's changing the organization rather than changing the individual.
Absolutely. That's absolutely the heart of what I think needs to happen, that organizations need to change to be able to allow different generations to work, to lead, to be led in ways that they want. To be customer focused, to serve one another, to turn it into a Christian phrase.
So you may have square holes with square pegs right next to a round hole with a round peg.
Absolutely. And that wouldn't that be great if we could actually get to that?